This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. What a wonderful opportunity. It is Monday through Friday to come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to use these airwaves for his honor and glory, to give him praise and worship, and just to enjoy the fact that we have this great opportunity to know each other in him. I'll tell you, I thank and praise God every day for all of you. And I tuck you into my prayers. You know, I'm telling you all the time, I put you into my rosary, and I hope that you put me into yours too. We want to hear from you today. You know what today is? It's Wednesday. And you know what happens on Wednesdays? It is Wacky Wednesday. And Sue Brinkman is with us. And we talk about all of the unusual things that we see happening in the world today, in our culture today, all of the, you know, various kinds of techniques and therapies and modalities and belief systems and practices, and people get themselves all wound up and stuff, and then they wonder why they're having issues. Well, because so much of this is very, very much outside of the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. Not only that, it's not neutrally outside of those things. It isn't. It's coming from the pit of hell. It comes to us via the occult and all kinds of machinations of the evil one. It comes to us through, magical thinking. It comes to us through belief systems that are devoid of the reality of Jesus Christ, devoid of the reality of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we try to set the record straight as much as we can do that on these days, and we invite you always to call us with your questions or comments. The number to use is toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We invite you, pick up the phone, give us a call. We're here for you today. We'll answer your questions. We'll address your concerns, and hopefully, we will separate the truth from the lie and bring the light out of the darkness. That's what we like to do. Another way that you can reach us is by using EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. There's a chat feature at both of those sites. Just put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Again, we'll get it retrieved and up on the board, and that is the way that we'll address it. Additionally, text us. Yes, you can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then put in your question or comment. And tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you're listening to us. And do know that message and data rates may apply. Well, you know, I tell you all the time that I pray for you. And oftentimes we get prayer requests, and those prayer requests come up again, you know, in my thought process. Even after I pray, it'll come up again in my thought process through the course of the day. And I wing little prayers off for you. So yesterday morning, I believe it was, Evelyn, if you're listening today, I just want you to know that when I headed out early in the morning for my walk, immediately you came into my mind. I knew that in a few hours, I think because you're in California, I'm in Central Time Zone, I knew in a couple of hours you were going to be in there, and you were going to be taking those tests for, I think it's the bar exam. And anyway, I wanted you to know that I prayed extra for you. And also, too, Angel, I've been praying for Eric. If you can give us a report on how it is that he's doing. And I want to ask for a special prayer request for two of our staff members today. Maybe you will pray for them. Our one staff member was diagnosed with COVID when she got back from our retreat. So she is feeling rather poorly, as you can well imagine. So please do pray for her. Her name is Joanne. And then pray for another one of our staff members. Her name is Mary. And her husband was actually hospitalized while she was gone. And she came home to needing to take care of him in the hospital. And I guess there was some complications and things that happened there. So if you would please pray for her husband, and if you would pray for Joanne, I would be most appreciative. And if they're listening right now, I hope it's okay that I shared that with my listeners. But you girls know how powerful prayer is. So we don't want to, have any stone unturned when it comes to prayerful intercession for people who need it. So I thank you for that. Really do appreciate it. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. Sue Brinkman is with us today. Do want to remind you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. We have all kinds of, you know, really, really marvelous opportunities for you there. As I tell you all of the time, we're always doing something. We try to be in some way imitative of our Lord in that way. It says, you know, God is pure act. He's always acting. Well, we at Women of Grace, we're always acting in the sense that, well, we're always providing to the extent that we possibly can opportunities for you to come into a closer relationship with our Lord. And so we've got a couple of things coming up in August that I want to draw your attention to. And, you know, I'm always mentioning to you that we are actively engaged in the evangelization process of God's daughters by way of spiritual formation. And our foundational study, available for women who are adult women as well as for young women, these two beautiful studies are out there. We need facilitators. We want women to join hands with us in this great work that God has raised up. And I want to tell you what, the spiritual benefits are beyond belief. Every woman who has facilitated a study has said that it's been something that has been an absolute beautiful moment in her life. And many of our facilitators become, you know, engaged in this process of spiritual formation with women and lead the study again and again, and then take them into the Moments with Mary study series. They've led our Young Women of Grace studies. So we want to invite you into this beautiful, beautiful apostolate. We surely do. So if you've never participated in a study, please do that. If you have never facilitated the study, please do that. And we try to make it as easy for you as we possibly can. So we do have online events. So coming up on August 12th, we have an online quick start training for new Young Women of Grace facilitators or aspiring Young Women of Grace facilitators who just want to see what it's about. Maybe consider that God's calling them to do this thing, right? We're going to have that on August the 12th, two times available. You can go out there to our website, womenofgrace.com, and you can access that under events and read all about it. And then on August 21, we have an online quick start training for new aspiring Women of Grace facilitators, the adult program. And again, 2-day time options. So we invite you to take a look at it and see if you are being called by God to enjoy this beautiful fruit that comes by way of these studies. And there are quotes from the past. I mean, it just tells you all kinds of beautiful things about past events and different things that we do there that you can read about too. So I would really just encourage you to check out Women of Grace. There is nothing quite like it. It is individual and singular in its approach and what God has really, I think, entrusted to it. So we want for you to join us. Well, in the meantime, Wacky Wednesday here with the lovely Sue Brinkman. I wanted to say the wacky Sue Brinkman, but that doesn't sound right, does it? No. Although we are the two wacky women of Wacky Wednesday. Do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. Please do. Looking forward to talking with you. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned. It's the wacky music of Wacky Wednesday, letting you know that it's Wednesday, in case you were wondering. Sue Brinkman is with us, and we are going to be taking your questions and comments today, all on the New Age and the Human Potential Movement and Eastern Oriental Mysticism and all of those other things that we see happening in our culture today that have become so much a part of our culture that sometimes we don't even look askance at it anymore. There was a time when all of this was kind of on the fringe of of you know, our Western civilization, but it's marched straight center now. And not only that, it has infiltrated into every aspect, I think, of our lives. I mean, we even see it creeping into some of the activities that go on in our Catholic Church. And we say, oh, no, 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 no. This is not of the Lord. So we take your questions today so that you are not misled. And if you have been misled, so that you can just do an about face and get out of being misled and come back to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live. Now, I did share with you earlier about two of our staff members who came home to difficulties. One came home to COVID. One came home to find her husband in the hospital. And so I was asking for prayers for them. But then our own Tom Price's wife, Adrienne, is on her way to Australia right now. Adrienne is from Australia, and she is on her way to Australia right now for the funeral of her dear Aunt Nettie. So I just thought, before I bring Sue on, let's just pray. And I want you to do this too. I want you to bring every intention that you promised you would pray for to this moment of prayer, and every intention that you have that you would like to have prayer for. Let's just bring it together. You know, sometimes we think, oh boy, well, I just don't want to share that prayer with anybody. I just want it for myself. Well, that's not the way God works. You don't have to worry about exhausting God's capacity to answer your prayer. And there's something beautiful about this communal aspect. We do this at Mass, don't we? We pray the prayers of intercession together. Why? Because there is something about the body of Christ coming together as one, that I think there's a certain efficacy that happens in that setting when we pray. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to gather them all in right now. So just gather them in. I have a little mental picture. It's so lovely. I just see our Blessed Mother with a basket on her arm. And we're bringing, oh golly, this is so touching. And I just see what's happening is your prayer intentions are coming in now. Our Blessed Mother is collecting them from you spiritually. And she's putting them in this basket. She's putting them in this basket. And we know what she's going to do with it. She's going to present them to her son through her spouse, the Holy Spirit. It's so lovely. So just put that image into your mind. And so it is, Father God, that we come before you in this moment, underneath the maternal beatitude, wrapped up in the maternal beatitude of our Blessed Lady, who, even as these intentions are coming into our minds right now, is collecting them from us to present to her son through the Holy Spirit. How beautiful is this opportunity, Lord. And so it is, Father, that in a specific way, the intentions that I've just mentioned for Mary and for Joanne and for Adrienne and for the repose of the soul of Aunt Nettie, those are my intentions that I'm bringing to this moment for all of those individuals that I said that I would pray for at the Women of Grace event this past weekend, bringing those. I see our Blessed Mother just like moving, around there, in this body of listeners, Father. So I'm bringing all of their petitions to this moment for the sake of this lovely, lovely collection that is taking place by our mother to present them to her son. And so everybody, let's just do that right now. Let's just take a moment and let's just entrust all of this to our Lord through the hands, the beautiful, beautiful hands of our Blessed Lady, her little basket of prayer intentions that are coming from you. And so it is, Father, that we ask that you would make haste to answer all of these requests. Father God, we would just ask that these requests now would be purified and sanctified, that there wouldn't be any want or desire there, but it would be purely to act according to your will and according to what it is that you know is best. Father God, we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Oh, that Amen. Was really nice. Thank you, Mother. Oh, that is so lovely. And we'll continue to pray for Adrienne's safe arrival, for the repose of the soul of Aunt Nettie, for Mary, for Joanne, and for all of your intentions. And I'll be taking them to Mass with me at noon there on the campus of EWTN, so you can be assured of that. 833-288 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Or EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, the chat feature there. Or text the letters EWTN to 58177. Know that message and data rates may apply if you use that third option. And now, may I introduce to you the one, the only, Sue Brinkman. Hi, Sue.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that is so funny. Yes, 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 yes. Well, thank you for that. I really feel like a star now, actually.
Well, you are a star.
Oh, my goodness. That's just so, you know what? And I love that image you had about the basket.
Isn't
because
that
ever since I love it. Ever since I consecrated myself to Our Lady, which was to Jesus through Mary, which is many, many years ago now. I think in 1994 is when I started it, and that's what I envision. And the way he explained it, that everything goes to her, all of your merits. So when you die, you come before the Lord, and you stand there empty-handed, but she's standing next to you, and she's got all that you've given her. And
yes.
I see myself, she's sitting on a throne. She's always sitting on a throne. And she has a big basket at her feet, and I see myself running up and putting my things in her basket. You know,
that
indulgences,
is so beautiful.
Sacrifices, you know, special prayers. I put them all in her basket. And I've been doing that for years. And when you said basket, I just, you know, beamed. I thought, yes, I can relate to that image for sure. I love it.
It is a beautiful image. And, you know, I have known people who, before the statue of Our Lady, you know, will have a little basket and they'll put the prayer intentions in it. And of course, this is not anything that's unusual. We see this in our church all the time. And for the sake of those that are listening today that are not Catholic, we absolutely know that what that statue is plaster of Paris or resin or something else. We are not worshiping that statue. We don't worship
right.
Mary, but we just know that Mary is the chosen daughter of the Most High God. She is full of grace. She's gratia plena, you know, and our mother wants to intercede for us. And so when we place those little petitions in the basket, it's just an outward action of what we've already offered in prayer. But there is something powerful in that because we're to pray with the whole person. There is something about prophetic gestures. You know, there's something about prophetic gestures. So all of that being said, I think it's a beautiful thing to do, Sue. And I just love that image. And I think that I'm going to put a basket in front of my statue of Our Lady.
I absolutely love that image. And, you know, you give everything to Our Lady because she's the mother of God and Jesus is the perfect son. And mm-hmm. one son does not listen to his mother.
That's
true. And if she comes up and intercedes, you've got so much more power behind that request when you let her do it.
That's right.
Because he's not going to say no to her, but you probably deserve to hear no. So, but not through her. So I always, like I said, I always fill up that little basket, but mine's a spiritual basket. I don't have a real basket. Mine's just spiritual. It's just always in my head, this little basket. So
that's
I love
beautiful.
It. Thank you for that.
Well, don't thank me. The Holy Spirit gave that image, so I can't take possession of it. Just
thank
to use
Spirit.
It. I can do that, but I can't own the inspiration. Well, we want people to call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So, Susie Q, you generally have something for us in terms of a topic. So what are you working on?
I do. Well, speaking of callers, we had a caller a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you're going to remember it or not, but she asked us if we knew anything about a spiritual movement called Thelma.
Yes, I remember
T-H-E-L-M-A.
That.
Remember that? Well, I couldn't find anything. And we said, you know, get us some more information. Well, we got a follow-up email. And what she was asking about is something called Thelma. T-H-E-L-E-M-A was the emphasis on the first syllable.
Okay.
I did some research on it, and it was very disturbing. And I thank her, if she is listening right now, I thank her very much for bringing this to my attention. I never heard of this. This is a Western esoteric and occult philosophy that was founded by the notorious British occultist Aleister Crowley in the 20th century. Yeah. It's based on the Greek word, thelema, is based on the Greek word meaning true will. And this true will is considered to be a person's divine purpose in life, but Crowley was hardly a believer in the God of Abraham, and his idea of divine purpose is not even remotely Christian. So anyone who's not heard of him, he was actually born into a well-to-do family. His father was an engineer, and he never got along with his mother. His mother referred to him as the beast, and not in a nice way.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And they were members of the Christian fundamentalist sect known as the Plymouth Brethren. But he completely abandoned all that. And when his father died, he inherited a third of the estate, and he used the money to gallivant around the world studying all these spiritual movements. And he was involved in everything from magic and alchemy to mountaineering and homosexuality. He was into anything. And at one point, he even joined a cult society known as the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. But he became ostracized because he was fighting with all those people. But Thelema came about when he was on his honeymoon in Egypt with his new wife. And they rented this apartment, and Crowley set up a temple room and began to invoke Egyptian deities.
Oh, dear.
And during one of these sessions, he heard a disembodied voice identifying himself as Iwas, who he believed was his guardian angel and a messenger from the Egyptian god Horus.
Oh,
and
heavens.
Crowley wrote down everything this being said over the course of the next 3 days, and that became the Book of the Law, which is sort of like the Bible of Thelema. So, and this being pronounced Crowley to be this great prophet. It claimed that humanity was entering a new age when a supreme moral law known as "Do what thou wilt" shall be the whole of the law. What does that sound like? That's so Wiccan and witchcraft, you know, do what thou wilt. In other words, do whatever you want. And anyway, that this new moral law is going to come into existence, kind of is in a way, isn't it? A little bit anyway. But under this new law, people would learn how to discover and then live in tune with their true will, which really I think is better in this sense being called their passions, their passions. So anyway, it incorporates all kinds of Western esotericism, hermeticism, Kabbalah, all kinds of mystical traditions. And their main gods in this are the Egyptian deities Isis, Osiris, and Horus. So it is not something that Christians should have anything to do with. This is not a spiritual movement. This is a spiritual philosophy, and it is based entirely in the occult. And we need to stay away from this. This is the worship of false gods, so that's a violation of the First Commandment right there. And it's founded by someone who was notorious for his evil way of life. You know, do what thou wilt. I mean, that's the same as saying do whatever you want.
Well, that's exactly
which
right.
Yeah, that's Wiccan. That's what the Wiccans all do too. So anyway, that's what I wanted to get out there because I was so grateful to her that she wrote that to me, to us here, you know, and clarified it so that I could look it up and I could get out there and put this out to people. This is why we so appreciate the calls on the show, the emails to us, and you can get it at newage@womenofgrace.com. It really can, it opens up the door for everybody to find it out. Your question ends up being everybody is able to read it.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. And it's so important. And don't ever think that your question is silly, because it is not silly. Don't ever think that it's unimportant, because it is not unimportant. And as you're saying, Sue, this really is one of the ways in which this program serves the greater needs of the people. And it's a participatory program. Yes, you and I can talk about this all day. But when you are calling in with your questions, you're helping to fertilize really and truly the conversation, and there are people out there that need to hear what it is that you're asking. So we do invite you to call us 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986, or leave your question for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Chat feature is there for that purpose. I invite you to make a good opportunity, good use of it. Please do that. Or you can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. And do know that message and data rates may apply that way. You know, it amazes me, you know, when you're talking about Aleister Crowley. Yeah, when you're talking about him, you know, this is I'm going to use this phrase. It's an old name, and by that I mean, this is a name that early on was found in so much of the literature that was attentive to the New Age, right? I mean, I know that when you and I first began to do our research, we were finding this name, we were finding references there quite a bit. But then, you know, what happens is these things kind of calm down in reference to these individuals, but then suddenly it all comes back again. And so it's a very cyclical thing. Generally speaking, these things don't come back in the state that they were initially. There's usually some morphing that goes on with them. Mm-hmm. You know, think about theosophy, how much has gotten added on to that. So it's interesting to me, though, because it doesn't really ever go away, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's always so deceitful. When you look at what it says, the true will, that's what thelema means. It means true will. And it's considered to be a person's divine purpose in life. Now, if anybody just from the street is just reading that, they're going to think, well, what's wrong with that?
Right.
But they don't know anything about the background here, and that he's not talking about God, and that, you know, he's not in the least bit interested in anything Christian. But you don't know that unless you look into it a little bit. So that's the part about it that kind of is chilling to me, how cleverly the evil one disguises his movements like this. And thankfully, people like our caller from several weeks ago was listening to that little prompting from the Holy Spirit and say, you know what, you should call in and ask about that and see what it is. And it led to us, me being able to see it, and of course, adding to our library, which I always love to do. We're getting close to 1,800, so we want to just keep going here. I know, we've really worked on that thing for sure. But anyway, yeah, it's so deceitful the way they do it, and you can see why people get drawn into it.
Yeah. Well, I do want to pick up on this as we go to our break. Sue just mentioned our New Age blog. Get out there to to womenofgrace.com. That's womenofgrace.com, plural on the women, all one word, womenofgrace.com. You can access it right there, and you can search by any topic area that or area of interest that is yours. So just go out there, womenofgrace.com, go to the New Age blog. Almost 1,800 questions and answers there, and they are good, 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 solid, in-depth responses to questions that we receive. Coming right back, 833-288-EWTN. Light up those phone lines. We're waiting for you. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, happy to be with you today, joined by Sue Brinkman. We are the Wacky Women of Wacky Wednesday. We answer your questions about all kinds of things. Eager to hear from you today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also encouraging you to use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page if that's a better option for you. Just leave your question or comment in that chat feature. We will get it collected. We want to know who you are, of course, and how you're listening, if it isn't that way, and also where you are, and we will address it. Also, you can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. We will get it retrieved, but message and data rates may apply with that third option. Do want to remind you to get out to check out EWTN's religious catalog. I love EWTN's religious catalog. We have a store right on campus there, and I frequent it often. But they've got such beautiful, beautiful things for you. And the online store has even more than the physical store can hold. So you get out there and check it all out. And one of the things I wanted to bring to your attention today is a beautiful Byzantine three-bar crucifix. And it is exceptionally beautiful, incredibly detailed, made of cold cast bronze with hand-painted gold accents and subtle primary tints. And of course, at the top is a representation of God the Father, along with Our Lady Queen of Heaven, Star of the Sea, flanked by two angels. On each end of the middle beam, next to Our Lord's pierced hands, are St. John the Beloved and St. Mary Magdalene. Isn't that lovely? And on the lower crossbeam, there are two trumpeting angels announcing the release of souls from the underworld at the triumph of our Lord. So we certainly do want you to take a peek at this cross, order it, and have it in your home. We should have a crucifix in every room. We really should. A crucifix in every room. I go to a great dentist in every one of the examining rooms, and in every one of the rooms where he actually does this stuff, there is a crucifix. And I cannot tell you how comforting that is, right? And so when we have a crucifix in every room at our home, it reminds us of the great sacrifice for our salvation, but it also tells us that Jesus is always with us. So I certainly do hope that you will check out that beautiful 3-bar Byzantine cross. It's about 9 inches by 17 inches. So, you know, the fact of the matter is it's a nice size and it's got a great, great hanger on the back. It's a sawtooth hanger available for you at EWTNRC.com. Well, Sue, I am so eager to get to our phone lines, and we do have a caller, and I am going to pull her up right now, and we are going to get to Mary Ann, and Jerry, and they are both in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening to us via Holy Family Radio. Good morning, Mary Ann and Jerry. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Janet and Sue.
Good morning.
I wanted to tell you that my sister has a devil statue in front of her house, that, like from The Wizard of Oz. And I know I see these in front of other people's houses, but how do you address this with her? Or have you already talked about it? I didn't talk to her about it yet at all.
She's kind of strong-willed and stuff, and she'd be, it'd be difficult to confront her directly on it.
Yeah.
Well, Sue. Oh.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because obviously she's an adult, and that's what she wants to do. There's really nothing you could do to stop her from doing that, but you can at the right time and in the right place. Have a private conversation with her to let her know how you feel about that statue. I mean, let's face it, the devil is not exactly a beloved being in this world. And he's very offensive to a lot of people, very offensive. And you might want to just state it that way, but keep it being like don't accuse her of anything, because that'll just make her defensive. Make it be about yourself. I feel this way about this, and I would prefer that you didn't have it there. I can't make you not have it, but I don't like that statue in your front yard. You know, come at her in a way that is not going to put her on defense. But she's more than likely not going to remove the statue anyway. And right now, of course, because the new movies are out on The Wizard of Oz, with spirits, right. Whoever they are, those two people, the Wicked Witches and that, that's out right now, so that she's going to kind of hide behind that for a little while. But it is a tough one, and there's not a whole lot you can do about it. I'm just hoping that doesn't mean she's into Satan. I mean, is she? Does she practice any kind of Satanism that you know of?
No, but
she's got like a relative, you know, that probably that's the reason she put it out there, and he's deceased, you know, now, so she probably doesn't want to, you know, really touch it or whatever.
I'm sorry, Jerry, I didn't understand. What is it that she has?
She has one of those devil statues in front of her house.
No, that I understood. Yeah. That I understood.
But she has a deceased, you know, I mean, a relative, okay?
Oh.
And that person probably is the one that suggested it. I mean, don't know for sure.
Oh, so, well, you know, and here's a thought. You know, you saying, well, you know, we don't know for sure. You might not know for sure why she has it out there. So it might be interesting to ask her that question. And you just might put it that way. Say, you know, I'm so interested in this statue. Tell me a little bit about this statue. Get her to talk about it. This is what it is. Well, how did you come by it? You know, what does it mean to you? And, you know, you can just ask these, just to try to get inside of her head, you know, a little bit and see why she has it. And, you know, and I would ultimately say, well, you know, it's just an odd piece to have. It's an odd piece to represent you. Typically, when we put a statue in the yard, you know, that statue means something, especially for those of us that are Catholic, that has our Blessed Mother in the yard, or St. Francis of Assisi, or the Sacred Heart, or, you know, or an image of the cross. I have a neighbor here who has a cross in her yard, right? It's saying something. It's a statement about ourselves. Even if we put, you know, just like, you know, a little angel out there, or, you know, you see some of these Greek gods and things that people put out there. It's a statement. You know, people look at that and they extrapolate from that something about you. So I would ask her that, you know, what would be the meaning in having this be representative of you? And try to find that out. And just see what she says. And if it goes into a dark place and she reveals that this is something that you know, she's interested in Satanism or, you know, has this affinity for the occult or whatever, then you can give her some guidance and say, well, you know, that's better be careful. You know, that can be a pretty slippery slope to get yourself involved in, you know, and just gentle admonition, gentle warning, but no judgment, as Sue says. And I think that would be the approach. In the meantime, if you go over there, you know, load yourself up with some sacramentals yourself, you know, make sure that you've got your miraculous medal on and things like this. But also with the two cleansers, you know, blessed salt and holy water. And mm-hmm. just as you're, you know, walking up the lawn there, just, you know, sprinkle a little bit of salt very discreetly, you know, have some in your little hand and just kind of like, oh, you know, just meander up there, letting a little bit loose. And the same with the holy water. So I think that's about all you can do. Sue's right. You know, she's a grown person. She's going to make her own choices. But there are things that you can do to be of benefit to her, even when she's not realizing it. So very interesting question. And thank you. I just loved having the two of you together there. That was very lovely.
Was nice.
Very lovely. Yeah. Thanks, Marianne. And thanks, Jerry, so very, very much. Let's go to Cressida in San Antonio, Texas. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. I'm not sure. You can correct me, though. Listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So what is your question, sweetie?
Yes, ma'am. I was just calling because I wanted to ask you. With just I love your show, and I just wanted to say and ask. I was mentioning earlier, you know, to honor my, you know, sacrament of marriage, my husband and I. But you know, of course, with life things happening like fertility, you know, issues, and you know, when you're things like that kind of cloud your judgment, and you know, you get kind of worried that things aren't going your way. Sort of saints and or what prayers would you recommend to pray for to strengthen our marriage and to, you know, give us some light into our fertility struggles?
Well, honey, this is a very, very sad moment when you realize that you are struggling with fertility issues. And yet God in his goodness wants to provide us with every good thing. And he knows what is best for us. And sometimes the situations and circumstances that we face in life that are the most difficult for us really become the source of grace that he wants to pour into our lives. And in this moment when you're struggling, the last thing that you want to do is to have this affect your marriage. You don't want it to affect this marital bond that is yours. And you want to approach this together and to be open to the possibilities that God has in mind for you, either by way of resolving the situation or the way in which he wants to open you up to the possibility of spiritual motherhood and spiritual fatherhood, and sometimes to the generosity of bringing a child into your home. So we want to be open to the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit in this time, even as we are trying to make our way to be able to conceive a child. I would suggest to you that you pray to Saint Gerard. He is a great one. He is a great one for this issue, for all women who are striving to conceive or have conceived for a safe pregnancy. But another one that is good is Saint Raymond Nonata. And his story is quite interesting. You can look him up online, but you can ask for his intercession as well. And then, of course, I would pray to Saint Elizabeth, the cousin of Our Blessed Lady, because she, you know, was infertile for many, many years. And look at what God did. The Holy Spirit came and she conceived Saint John the Baptist, you know, it through natural means, of course. But the Holy Spirit affected this when she and her husband Zechariah were in their old age. And that's not uncommon. Church tradition tells us that our Blessed Mother's own mother and father, had difficulties conceiving, and they conceived Our Lady, when they were rather older. So we don't want to lose heart. We don't want to lose hope, but we do want to remain open. So those are the saints. In a practical way, I would recommend that you get out to John Paul II Institute in Omaha, Nebraska, that you check it out, the work of Dr. Thomas Hilger's NAPPRO, NA-PRO, P-R-O, technologies. These are natural ways in which we work with our body to conceive a child and to know what the markers are to help us. Maybe you've already employed that effort. You can also go to doctors who can help us with fertility. What we cannot do as good Catholics is to participate in IVF, in vitro fertilization. We cannot do that. But there are some, sources, some means that are viable for us. But, we cannot go about the business of harvesting eggs. We cannot go about the business of selective abortion and things like that, which IVF leads to. But that's what I would do. And I would ask Our Lady too. Our mother, she's such a powerful intercessor. So those would be my recommendations. Sue, do you have any other recommendations?
I do. And I'm remembering Margalita. Remember Margalita? She writes for us on occasion,
yes,
on
yes,
those subjects of infertility. And she does a beautiful job. And her articles are laced with prayer. They're very prayerfully written.
She
is a licensed mental health counselor. She's a beautiful woman. Her last name, very difficult to pronounce. Poletino?
Yeah, it's Platinow.
Poletinow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If you go to our website, to our blog, and just type in the word Margalita, Margalita, it'll bring up all of her articles. And she's written many of them for us on all different angles of infertility. She also deals with, miscarriage, the loss of a child. So she's got beautiful, beautiful thoughts and prayers in those blogs that I think might be of help too.
Mm-hmm. And she and her husband had difficulty in that same way. They conceived a child and she lost that child, and then she was never able to conceive again. And they adopted two beautiful young ladies who are twins. And oh, they are the light of their life. So, we just remain open. I have another very, very dear friend. She was just with us this weekend for our Women of Grace retreat, Kitty Cleveland. She and her husband adopted a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful daughter, Cecilia. She is just an absolute delight. So, God has something for you. We just need to remain open and attentive to the working of the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you what I will do, sweetie. I'll carry you to Mass with me, and I'll have you in my heart, and I will remember your desire before the altar of God, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. What a beautiful, beautiful girl.
Yes.
It's so hard when things... We want children, and we as women, are desirous of that. And when our bodies don't agree, it's a cross. But everything good comes by way of the cross, and we just have to be
exactly
to God's will.
Exactly.
Well, we've got Joe out there on YouTube, and this is a very different question. He wants to know what the Catholic view is on UFOs.
UFOs. Okay. Well, there's actually no official teaching on the existence of UFOs. There are differing views within the Vatican Observatory about it, but I know I'm looking at something here about from Father Jose Gabriel Funes. He says that he doesn't see why there couldn't be. He says, just as there is a multiplicity of creatures on Earth, there can be other beings, even intelligent, created by God. And this is not in contrast with our faith, because we can't put limits on God's creative freedom. So it's keeping the door open. As there's no official teaching on it, it is keeping the door open and just saying, okay, this could be. And if it is, hey, who are we to say that God can't have created other beings, even, intelligent beings out there in outer space? Others disagree with that and say, no, it has to be human and that sort of thing. So we have a blog on it, of course, out there, and it gets into a lot of detail about what the church actually has to say about it, what the different philosophers have said about it, and it's very interesting. A very interesting thing to read. But generally speaking, there is no official teaching on the existence of UFOs, and the church is keeping herself open on that subject until there's further clarification.
Yeah. Yeah, it is an interesting thing to speculate about. And I remember years ago, the question was asked, well, if there is life on other planets, would Jesus' salvific act apply to them too? But then that gets into even more questions. I mean, Jesus is the incarnate yes. God, right? And he took on human form, right? So would that apply to something that would be other than what we would see as human form, or is it human form? And then the question is, well, you know, what would they have had their own version of an Adam and Eve, and would the fall even apply to that? So you get into these conundrums in your head that can occupy a lot of time and a lot of space in your brain, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which yes. would be better spent in prayer.
Yes, absolutely right about that. Why speculate? Listen to the church. She has no official teaching. Keep your mind open. Listen to the things, but let the church direct you and guide you.
Yeah.
On that as far as the faith. And I will want to add one thing. This is only because I was working on this blog right before we went on the air. Baba Vanga, you know, the blind mystic from Bulgaria, she predicted that in 2025 we would actually make contact with alien life forms. And there is some kind of extraterrestrial body floating around out there that scientists have just discovered this year in 2025. It's not really coming anywhere near here, but it is out there. So people that it's back in the news again, you know, like, oh, maybe Baba Vanga was right. You know, she supposedly has made a whole lot of predictions that came true, but she's also made a lot of them that have not come true. So I'm going to be blogging about that in the next few weeks. You'll be seeing that. But anyway,
well, interesting.
Yeah, she said we're going to make contact with them. And at this point, I don't believe we ever have made contact with them. So anyway, that's what's coming up. Maybe. if it's true. She also predicted this huge earthquake that just happened off the coast.
That just happened in
Russia.
Yeah,
she just predicted that, and the tsunamis. She predicted all that kind of. So she's all over the news right now because of that. Oh, she predicted that. And then another psychic in Japan. They call her the other, or the new Baba Vanga, that she also made these predictions about this horrible earthquake. It was like an 8.7. It was a massive earthquake.
It was.
Over there. Yeah. So, they're back in the news.
Well, through the
Good
grace of God,
now.
It seems as though Hawaii is not going to get the tsunami that they were concerned about. And we continue to pray for that. I know a lot of people were praying for that. And, you know, whenever we have this inclement weather and these crazy things are going on, it's good to appeal to the angels. You know, I think it's the virtues that is the choir of angel that has governance over the elements of the earth. And so we ask always for their intercession. I do that most times when I'm flying, especially if there's turbulence, you know, it's like, okay, virtues,
yes,
come and do
yes.
your stuff, you know, smooth those air currents. You know, there's so much that we can get into. And I know that we've got a caller. I'm just not sure. I'm looking at the time that we have. We have a call that was left for us. Vanessa, if you think that we've got time to get to it, you can go ahead and put that up there if you think we can get to it. Just let me know somehow. And I do want to point out that Vanessa Sanchez is our producer right there on the campus of EWTN, making it all happen. We've got Tom Price on the phones today and Pedro Quiles out there collecting your questions. He got Joe's question, for example. So Vanessa does not think that we have time. So we are not going to take that call. We'll save it for next week, Sue. But what does Sue have coming up? Book study going well?
Oh, the book study is going wonderful. We're having such a great time with this book, really getting into, you know, the feminist movement and where it all came from. And it's very eye-opening, Johnette, very eye-opening to all of us, especially as links to communism and that sort of thing. Who would have ever thought that, and how all of the big leaders, the Gloria Steinems and then the Kate Millets and that, they were all very, very involved in the occult.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
And who would have known it? Who would have known this stuff? So it's just an excellent book. It's called The End of Woman, How Smashing the Patriarchy Has Destroyed Us. It's just an excellent book. We're down to the last two meetings now coming up. It'll be over by August 11th. That's just our last book study meeting. So we're getting towards the end of this book, and it's just really a gripping book. Very, very easy to read by Dr. Carrie Gress.
So what do you have? What do you have lined up for the fall?
Well, it's going to be on hope, and this one is by Father Philip Bochansky, who I believe you interviewed at one point. It's called The Virtue of Hope.
Several
How confidence
times.
In God can lead you to heaven.
Beautiful for the Jubilee year.
Yay.
So we invite you to come to our book studies. They're online. Sue leads them all. She does a beautiful job, a wonderful job, a very, very, very inspired teacher. And I know that the people that come just love them. So you'll have to keep your eye peeled to our website, womenofgrace.com. It'll be listed up there in the upcoming events. It's been great being with you today. Thank you, Sue Brinkman. It's always wonderful
thank
to
you.
Be with you, my sister.
Thank you. Thank you.
Until we are together again, my dear friends, don't forget to get to that website and please pray for us. We are praying for you. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
Clear.